Raffi Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 66th Berlin International Film Festival. Today I'm in company of Alexander Skarsgård and my compagna, protagonist of War on Everyone, about John McTonagh, screening here in the Panorama Special section. So I read somewhere that John Michael McTonagh said that instead of casting you, he saw some pictures on Instagram or Facebook, I don't know. I'm talking about you, Alexander. Where, I don't know, these pictures is, you were drunk in this picture, I don't know. Is that an insult or a compliment?
No, it's a tremendous compliment. And I went to see my football team play, and I sang with the fans, and I did not expect to get a job out of that, but I guess I did. All right,
it's not, if he would have sent me that, I would have been like, who the fuck is that? What am I doing? He's like, looking like an animal.
Well, he needed it. That's what he wanted for Terry, I guess. Yeah, no, it's the team. I grew up in South Stockholm, and it's a working-class team from South Stockholm, not a very successful team. So I'm not surprised that you've never heard about them. I grew up watching them and going to their games. I love it. I live in the States, but every time I go home,
Michael, how did you get involved in the project then?
How did I get involved? I know John Michael McDonagh's work, and I just read the script, and he said, you know, my agents or manager, somebody said that he wanted to meet me, and I was excited to meet him. And it's one of these kind of projects where some of them, like, you hear of them, and you see how they play out. And I remember I would, you know, every week or every couple weeks, and I mean, I think it took like a year. I'm like, what's going on with the project? What's going on with the project? And financing came in, and then a year is a long time to be attached to something, and it, you know, but I'm glad it worked out. You know, there's some really cool projects that just don't work out, you know, and they just go away. But thank God this one didn't.
What convinced you, Michael, that Alex would be the right guy to pair with you?
Well, you know what, I don't watch almost anything. You know, I have a 7-year-old son, so we watch. Yeah, I have to watch like cartoons and stuff. Like, I can tell you any cartoon right now. Like, Inside Out is probably one of my favorite movies of last year. The first rehearsals, it was like, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be awesome. And I thought that we were actually lucky to get him, to be honest, because he was such a rock even the first day. And I was like, great, you know, you kind of need someone like that. So, like, I felt like, you know, I can play around a little bit, and, you know, he could too. You know, there's some people where sometimes you just don't feel like that, and it's kind of a struggle. And sometimes it works out, and sometimes it doesn't.
Do you think that the film turned out good, or even possible, if you two would have turned out good, or even possible, if you two hadn't had a good chemistry?
It wouldn't have been impossible, but it obviously helps when you make a buddy movie. It helps if you're buddies and you enjoy each other's company, you know. You can get away with it. You can play a love relationship or a friendship. We're actors, so you have to pull it off even if it's not real. But yes, it absolutely helps with the banter, and if you have the same sense of humor, and if you understand each other, and you can, like,
yeah, that,
you know, riff off each other, it's... Again, we had 3 days of prep before this. We had nothing, but we kind of immediately found each other and hit it off and had a great rapport in a way. So, like, it was very easy for us to get into that kind of dynamic of a relationship.
What I think is interesting is, like, hearing about, like, Officer and a Gentleman and how they hated each other, you know what I mean? And then it came out, like, a great movie. Like, I always wondered, I would want to be a fly on the wall for that movie, because apparently they hated each other. And it's like one of the best love stories.
Or maybe that's better than being indifferent. Like, maybe if it's a love story and you hate the other actor, there's at least tension. There's something going on. There's a lot of energy, which can be interpreted in different ways.
But I don't.
So for the audience, there's still like, there's a lot going on here. But if there's nothing, it'd be like.
There have been a lot of scandals in U.S. police. Did you refer to that in the film?
I actually didn't even look at that, because it's so outrageous, and it's, you know, very exaggerated that I don't think this movie has any social commentary whatsoever. I just kind of took it as kind of entertainment, really. And it was, I just was studying the script because I thought it was funny. I didn't think anybody would take it seriously. and being like, you should not steal, you should not run over mimes.
Considering the work on John McTonagh, that he set everything in Ireland, so his previous films were, let's say, different.
Yeah.
Continuing the setting. Was it weird for you to work on a script that was set in the US, so totally different?
Yeah, but I think
hadn't done anything.
It is weird, and I think that made it quite interesting.
Yeah.
The fact that he'd never even been to Albuquerque before, but it's his version of what would like a buddy cop movie in Albuquerque look like.
He's all breaking
through his crazy mind, which I thought was quite fun. The way most of Lars von Trier's movies take place in the States, he doesn't travel, he doesn't leave Europe, so, but he makes these movies about life in the States, and I think it's an interesting journey when you go through someone's mind, someone who's a genius like Lars von Trier or McDonagh, you know, where it makes it really, I mean, if you go to Albuquerque and you see two cops, it's not going to be this version of that's not reality.
Yeah.
So it's very heightened and weird. And even in terms of when does this movie take place? I mean, it's contemporary, but it also kind of looks 70s in a way. So it's, but that reading it, I just found that quite exciting and fun. Not like, well, wait a minute, why would he have a rotary phone? Like, why do we only drive old cars? And why do I wear the weird suit? You go with it because that's his crazy mind.
Well, that actually makes me think about something I read in the press notes of War on Everyone, that when John McTonagh was asked if he thought that morality was subjective and that if there's some good and bad in all of us, he said that for him, no, there are the good ones and the bad ones, and morality is objective.
Objective.
What do you think?
I don't know if I agree.
I don't know if I agree either. I mean, I think that I think the sane person knows that there's something wrong with them. You know, I think that makes a sane person. I think the insane are the ones that think that everything is okay. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're like, you know, how are you? You know, and you're like, I'm great. Mm-hmm. That's when you should run. But I think morals is more of a social thing. I think, you know, if you go through any moral code, that's what society. You know, society introduces laws that prohibit certain things that mm-hmm. aren't pro-survival. And I think ethics is a completely different subject. Mm-hmm. I think that's ethics is a personal thing of what you think mm-hmm. is right or wrong.
But I think that's, and also in terms of our characters, and back to like your question about police brutality, mm-hmm. the reason we can get away with it in this movie is because there's no racial profiling. Mm-hmm. It's, well, hence the title of the movie, it's War on Everyone. So it's not like we target, because this debate is going on because poor black men in poor neighborhoods are being, mm-hmm. you know, there's racial profiling and they're being incarcerated there's mass incarceration in those neighborhoods. The way it's not happening in affluent neighborhoods where there's, you know, predominantly white. So, but these guys don't give a fuck. Like, they will steal your money. They don't care if you're black or Irish or, you know, Jewish, Muslim, like, anyone will insult everyone and everyone. And I think that's makes it, because, you know, we talked about a lot about, like, it's important that you, in a weird way, like these guys and you root for them and you're with them, even though they do horrible things. And I think that's kind of the key to getting away with it, that it's like, we don't care.
They still have their moral code. There are some things.
Yeah, because
they cannot accept.
Right.
Yeah, but like the kids, you know, when we hear about, you know, stuff happening to little kids, it's just that's where you draw the line. Mm-hmm. But we're stealing from criminals, for the most part, you know.
What's with the obsession for Glen Campbell?
He loves Glen Campbell.
That's John. He loves Glen Campbell.
Yeah, I love that. Stuff. I had that question to John.
Yeah.
And he said it to me like. He's like, so Glen Campbell. He's like, great. All right, cool. He's he's great. Yeah, and he's like,
all right, very
he's,
well.
He's awesome. I'm like, mm-hmm. yep, okay. That's what
and
it
I, but I th- and I think it really works. I think it's an excellent choice because it's kind of unexpected. Mm-hmm. Terry, who's kind of a brawny, that kind of a Neanderthal, for him to listen to, you know, Rhinestone Cowboy, it's quite good. You know?
I'm thinking that the fact that these characters never give a fuck and is famous is what makes McDonagh's cinema so effective and this film so effective.
That's the first meeting that I had with him. It was 10 o'clock in the morning, and I went to go meet him, and right in front of him was a tall glass of beer. And he's like, you want something? You should order something. I was like, okay, I guess I should have a beer if I'm going to get this job.
Would you like to return to these characters? Because the ending's quite open. It leaves kind of plenty of space to work on.
I think it'd be interesting. I'm like, if John Michael McDonough was actually doing the writing, then I think that would be really interesting. You had an interesting idea of making it like a five-episode series for, you know, something. You can really explore the characters then. And it would not a lot of movies have sequels as a series.
Thank you, Alexander Skarsgård and Michael Pena, for being here with us for the film War on Everyone screening in the Panorama Special Section. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 66th Berlin International Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.